Hey there, radios, it's Dean from Mike TV. I know it's been a little bit of a while, but Lisa and I have been taking a bit of a summer break, but we are coming back soon with episode 50 of Mike TV in the beginning of June. That's right, an all new format, as we are going to take a little bit of a break from deep diving into a specific show and getting a little bit more generic with our TV coverage. Segments like TV news, what we're watching, retro deep dives, fantastic cast, pitch and dive, and maybe a little bit more. So join us at Mike TV. We hope to see you there. And remember to always keep it thorough.
Hey, it's Harrison Ford here, wanting to say thank you to all the Radio Labyrinth producers over at the Patreon page, which is patreon.com/TimAndrews. So without further delay, Brett Perkins, thank you. Mike Hall, Chad Shepard, Brian Smith, Eric Malmstrom, John Sutherland, Keith Tate, Matt Carter, Mike D, Roby Neely, Sean Hall, and Todd Ellis. Thank you all very much for donating, and we'll see you in the skies.
Hello, Laszlo.
Hello.
I can see by the look on your face you were never expecting to see me again.
No, you can see by the look on my face I haven't got a fucking clue who the hell you are.
Nice try. Like you don't remember what went down in California.
Are you bullshitting me on this? How is it that now everyone thinks they can be a vampire?
After all that nonsense on Staten Island, I cut loose to Pennsylvania because it sounded like Transylvania. And we all know that sounds cool. I infiltrated the township posing as your average American Yankee Doodle dandy. And I took over Lucky Brew's Bar and Grill. The previous owner, he mysteriously disappeared because I killed him.
Colin Robinson, why are you doing this to us?
We are your only friends in the world. Why subject us to this hell?
Friends? Do friends ignore their friends when their friend tells them about a big promotion that they got at work, which they were considering turning down just so they could hang out more with their friends? Staten Island Branch, can you hear me?
We're here, Colin.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
For the Sigourney Otis project, we got...
How was everyone's weekend?
I suppose I can trust you. After all, you're clearly just a regular human bartender. The jeans, the toothpick, the salt of the earth.
That's all I am. Just, yes. I'll keep my peepers peeled for that guy.
Well then, I will get out of your hair.
Okay, so just do your regular thing. Hey, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. Don't get that crazy look on your face.
I won't. I didn't do that this time.
No, you did good. Let me see your shirt.
Oh, hang on. I'll show it to everybody when we start.
Okay. Now. All right. I'm hitting record.
Okay.
Ready and
awesome. See, I didn't wig out. Hey everybody, welcome to Radio Labyrinth, the Gen X pop culture podcast that covers any and all things movies, TV, radio, podcasts, as long as we like them, and other Gen X stuff. You know, basically we're boomers now, so we like to bitch. I'm your host, Tim Andrews, a regional semi-famous Atlanta radio personality, and these are my co-hosts, Jeff Liebuff and Stephanie Swain.
Hello.
Ira has the week off. Hi, Jeff.
Ira's in a yurt.
That's right.
He's glamping.
You've glamped before, have you not?
We did glamp, but we glamped in one of those really cool old RVs, not in a yurt. We didn't do the yurt.
You did the streamline, right? One of those streamliners.
Yeah, we're not Mongolians. We don't sleep in yurts.
I'm with you, Tim. I mean, you guys had like TV. You had all the amenities, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It was all modernized.
Was there a bathroom in it?
In the yurt?
No, in your trailer.
Yeah, but you only do number one in it. You don't do number two in it.
What if you got to go number two?
Well, you know, you find some weeds.
Okay.
This is this is season 5, episode 24. We should have done all 24 and had Josh Warren on. No, we'll do that.
That was my original thought. I said we either have Josh Warren on because it's episode 24, or we have Joe Gala on to talk about what we do in the shadows because of the season finale next week.
Right. Well, we have Joe Galwa coming up to talk about what we do in the shadows. And he's been on the show before. He's a really nice guy. He's very funny. And we'll find out what it's like to be a comedian in the time of COVID. Before we get started, I want to read. You guys mind if I read our sponsors?
No, do it.
All right. Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Euro, which is now open for dine-in service with limited seating per the required precautions. Atlanta Pizza and Euro practices 6-foot social distancing whenever possible, and they sanitize the tables between every new set of customers. Isn't that cool?
It is cool. And I saw a pic. I mean, people are, they're pushing that distance to the limit. They want to be in that restaurant. There are people coming to dine in.
I would eat
it. Like it was like some families that have probably been quarantining together, but still wanted to go out to eat. So,
right.
They were, you know, once, if you're sitting apart from everybody else, you're good because you've been with that group already.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? And you're not going to catch COVID now that you're out at a restaurant together. Yeah.
And guys, don't worry about the salt shakers, salt and pepper shakers and stuff like that, because they have single-use condiments available, including ketchup. That's you know, it's fancy. You don't have that bottle with the crap on the top. You know, that disgusting stuff.
Schmutz? Yeah, there's always schmutz on the top.
I think it's called Flynn, if you remember, Sniglets, but I can't be sure. They are still providing takeout and curbside service for those who prefer that. And you don't have to pay ahead of time. So just go to their website, which is AtlantaPizzaEuro.com to order for pickup or delivery. Remember, they thank, and remember, Atlanta Pizza in Euro wants to thank everyone who's been supportive to them and other restaurants during these tough times for that entire service industry. And let's not forget our friend Brett Perkins, his business LDI, Repro Printing of Athens. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential. So, Jeff, what would construction printing be?
Well, they print like blueprints and stuff, probably.
Yeah, like big ass blueprints.
Real big ass blueprints. Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been in Athens since 2005, and so that's 15 years if my addition is still up to par. And they have a fast turnaround and affordable prices. So, call 706-316-9366. Or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com. So thank you both for sticking with us through all this.
Yeah.
You really appreciate it. As long as we're talking about that, let's talk about Patreon. We've had to update it a little bit because some states have decided they're not getting enough money for taxes, or they found a way to get into the internet and start screwing people.
Awesome.
So there's this new thing where you're getting taxed. So I went into the Patreon page and changed some of the levels. And because it's 50 states, Mississippi has a different tax rate than Georgia and Pennsylvania and New York. It's all weird stuff. And so there's certain ways of getting around it if it's a one-time donation. Who put the grid up there?
I did.
So kind of, did you pay attention to it or see what it said really?
Yeah, like, stuff like if you're getting extra episodes, like just exclusives for Patreons.
Yeah.
Or if you're giving them merchandise, like stickers or shirts or hats and stuff.
Well, see, we're not doing that every single time. So every time you donate in a month, like if you donate 1 month at a level and you're new and you get the sticker and you get the shirt, right?
Right.
You get taxed on that maybe one time. I wouldn't want somebody to get taxed on that every single month.
Right, because just take the. I was thinking you would just take whatever the highest state is. Like, isn't it 7% the highest?
I guess. I don't know.
So just is that Hawaii?
I don't know. Just take 7 cents off the thing. So instead of being $5, it's $4.93.
Okay.
So they're still getting charged $5. Like they're not like they're used to, but now seven cents or whatever is going to the taxes, and the rest is going to the Patreon.
Well, 7% of $5 isn't 7 cents.
You know what I mean.
All right, so here's the rundown real quick, and then we'll get on with the show. $1 monthly donation will get a thank you on the first episode recorded after you've signed up and listed in our weekly show notes. It's your very own digital thank you. $5 monthly level gets you to ask us or a guest anything, plus everything else. And once you get to the $10 donation, that's when you get the sticker, send you the sticker, plus you get everything prior to that. And you'll also be able to submit songs to one of our themed Radio Labyrinth Spotify playlists. And each week we'll post a reminder of that for you on the Patreon page so you can submit your songs. $25 donation makes you an official Radio Labyrinth producer, and you get a top of the show credit in one of the voices that I do each week. And you get all the monthly and and other rewards. You get a t-shirt as well. You get a t-shirt from our t-shirt store. All you got to do is go pick one out that you want and include that in your message when you sign up for Patreon. $50 and up donation makes you an official Radio Labyrinth sponsor. You will receive everything from the lower tiers, and you will get a live sponsor read at the top of the show. You can promote your business or just yourself if that's your sort of thing.
Cool.
By the way, cool. Jeff Wade says cease and desist with using his artwork in background there.
I see you got your Toledo.
I've ceased and desisted using his artwork, but I'm still wearing the hat.
I'm going to have to check with him.
I got some artwork from Brian Silverback.
You do? Okay, well, all right. But you have it up there right now?
Yep.
Oh, there you go. It's back.
The loggerhead that's right there is coming out this month. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm not using a background this week because I want to see my microphone. I don't want it to be looking like I'm going.
You're not using the annoying window sun background?
No. Well, I have that right behind me. So this week on the show, we're going to be talking with Joe Galois, comedian and actor local here, finding out what's going on with being a comedian right now when you can't do anything. And we're also going to talk about our favorite episodes of What We Do in the Shadows, which wraps up probably by the time you've listened to this, it's either aired or it will air in a day or two. So we're going to talk about the first 9 episodes of the season. We're going to each pick our favorite 3 and kind of talk about why we like them.
All right.
And Steph, since you're not going to be on that part of the show, why don't you just go ahead and tell us your favorite episodes of the season?
Oh, my favorite are Brain Scramblies. I know me and you and Jeff, we all love that one so much. The Return, Jackie Daytona,
mm-hmm.
Classic, and On the Run. I'm sorry, not On the Run was Jackie Daytona. The Return is the one with Nick Kroll and Count Rapula and Carol.
Count Rapula. That's still the best name, Count Rapula. And On the Run, of course, features Mark Hamill as Jim the Vampire.
I just don't, I can't believe in all this time that no rapper has ever used the moniker Count Rapula.
No.
I mean, it's always been there. It's just been sitting there waiting for the taking.
Right. Well, before we get to that, Steph, you want to do some news?
Sure. Well, unfortunately for us Handmaid's Tales people who aren't satisfied with the dystopian life that we're currently living, you want more. It's not going to happen for a good long, long time.
Okay.
I guess they were only a couple of weeks into production, and that was it. Then old COVID came a-knocking, shut everything down. So they have no idea when they're going to resume filming, and no timeline whatsoever. I mean, you know, in the meantime, you can get ready for their sister show that's going to be coming out sometime in 10 years. I don't know, whenever they get to film it, called The Testaments. And that's old girl's other book, Atwood's other book that she's got. And it's like a sequel. It's set 15 years past the end of Handmaid's Tale. It's going to have Aunt Lydia and some others. So that might be good, but it's something else to look forward to that they're not making. And then
it's a sequel based on a book that so Margaret Atwood wrote a sequel to the movie.
You know, kind of, yeah.
Okay.
To the book, yeah. It's called The Testaments. So there's that. But a lot of people are saying, well, why can't you do what Blue Bloods is doing? You know, Blue Bloods is looking into buying that COVID robot. You heard about that?
No, what's the COVID robot?
The COVID robot, it's a $125,000 robot that you just kind of set it upon any sort of area that you want COVID to get zapped. And within a period of time, this robot will zap 99.9% of all viruses in the vicinity.
Does it have a penis that can go in your ass and take care of the COVID in your body? Dr. Birch, no?
That's a special attachment you have to buy separately.
Okay. Well, I'm in for it, I guess. Is it semen made of Clorox?
That attachment also costs $125,000.
Okay, well, we can afford it. Okay, go ahead.
But you can also rent it. You could rent it monthly.
Well, I wouldn't want a dirty robot.
Would you? Your own personal COVID robot.
It's not the surfaces that are the problem. It's the person-to-person contact, though.
Yeah. I mean, how are they going to prevent it from coming out of your lungs?
Right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this thing's just going to be kind of rolling around the background, you know, zapping COVIDs in the air. I'm not sure exactly the technology, Tim. I'm not like that, but I do feel like this is something that we should get in the ground floor of, is this COVID robot, because you know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to waste money on this.
Why don't they call it the Cobot?
Jesus, Tim.
What?
I mean, they're going to knock on your door and be like, you son of a bitch, I'm in. It's definitely coming.
Yes.
The Cobot.
Get on Shark Tank right now, Tim.
It's so there. Anyway, maybe
I'm
you can make
guy.
A...
I'm not the... I don't do the tech stuff.
Maybe you could make a mini version for the home, you know, like a Roomba.
It's like a Roomba, yeah.
But it's a little Cobot that just kind of zippity-doo. So, but the good news is Jon Favreau confirmed today that The Mandalorian, actually, they had a bunch of shit in the can before this whole COVID thing blew up. They are still on point to be premiering the second season in October.
Oh, yes.
So that's very cool. Yeah. And, you know, so much of that show's done digitally, as we found out whenever Roy and Shane came on the show.
Right.
So a lot of their stuff was already done. So that's great. We at least got that to look forward to.
Cool.
And then in other news, I don't know. Did you guys watch the Rick and Morty season finale?
I did.
What did you think, Jeff?
I've been wondering about if Beth was a clone or not for a while.
Yeah. And a lot of fans were after the season three, because they kind of made it, but they didn't tell you whether or not she was. And this confirmed that, yes, the current Beth that was living at home was indeed a clone. And the real Beth was out in space fighting the Galactic Federation. And then she finds out that she's got this bomb in her neck. And so she comes home to confront Rick. And Rick actually doesn't remember which one's the real Beth. He kind of wiped his brain so that he wouldn't know which one was the real Beth. It was actually a very poignant episode, and the end of it was kind of sad, as Rick just basically sitting there going, I'm a terrible father. And they played this sad song called Don't Look Back by this one of these little indie artists named Tokamoto or something. It was very, very sad. So, but it was a good season finale, I thought. And God knows when we'll get to see season five. I have no idea.
Seems like the animation's able to keep going, but I don't know if they're still writing them and stuff.
It takes so long to animate that show, though, because it's so complicated, like Futurama was, you know. Right. It's so such a... Anyway, but... And lastly, are you guys fans of the Jackass movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all right. I like that kind of shit. I think it's funny to watch people get hurt.
I do, too. I do, too. It really depends. And so, I guess Shaq, they're another one who have been having to suspend production because of COVID. You know, a lot of their stuff is hands-on because, you know, they're slapping each other on the balls and stuff. So, you know,
really, I don't want nobody slapping my nuts.
But Shaq was on Steve-O's podcast this week, and he said that he has a great idea for their next movie, and he wants to be in it. And he's taking his inspiration from the first Jackass movie, whenever Johnny Knoxville fought Butterbean. So Shaq wants to fight Johnny Knoxville.
Nice.
Which I would love to see. My God, can you imagine? Because Shaq is like, what, 7 foot? I don't know what the hell.
Super tall. We met him. Remember how big he is?
I mean, I just imagine that he's just going to slap Johnny in the face with his dick and it's going to be over in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Speaking of Butterbean, did you see that episode of... God damn it. The wrestling show on Vice. What's it called again?
The Dark Side.
Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah. Did you see the one about the Brawl for All where Butterbean fought that guy and just beat the shit out of him?
That was a messed up episode. Well, they all have been, but that was crazy.
Yeah. That one, especially. Jeez. That one in the Owen Hart episode, which was sad. Yeah,
so sad. That one really broke me up. So that was the end of the show, right? I believe that was the season finale.
I hope they do more.
Yeah, you and I, Tim, we've got to do I want to do an interview with Jim Cornette. I'm going to try and get him.
Try.
Get him. I'm going to try my best to get him on and see if we could do an interview with him.
Tell him, you know, Vinny Bucci.
Maybe Vinny could help us get a leg in. I know you don't give a shit about this, Jeff, so that's why I wasn't even I know whenever you and I were going to do this wrestling episode before Ira and Jeff, you know, they both told us to go get bent.
Well, we need to do that. So let's do it. If you can get him on, let's do it.
I'll try my best.
JR.
But those were all of my little newsy stories. So
let's talk about who passed away. I don't want to do Gene. I don't want to do Paul. Who should I do? Very somber voice at this time.
I want to do, please do GW.
George W. Bush?
Yes.
All right. Well, rest in peace to Mary Pat Gleason. She was 70 years old, young, passed away. You've seen her in a whole bunch of stuff like Easy Money, Night Court, Defending Your Life, which I have never seen because I'm not a big fan of Albert Brooks. But Easy Money, that movie is money. That's funny from start to finish. You got Rodney Dangerfield. You got Joe Pesci, other people. It's a good movie. So rest in peace, Mary Pat Gleason. No relation to me. Rest in peace to Steve Priest, who died at the age of 72. He was the bass player for the glam rock band Sweet. At the beginning of the song Ballroom Blitz, where the guy goes, "Are you ready, Steve?" And that's who he's talking about. Yeah. Steve Priest. Rest in peace, my friend. And last but not least, I want to say rest in peace to, definitely at least, the Frank Rizzo statue of Philadelphia. A bunch of people went out there the other night, and they were out protesting, and they peacefully tied ropes around it and yanked it down and dragged it away.
Look, I don't need a statue of me, jerky.
Well, see, I didn't know. Look, I've been in politics for a long time. Well, not so much now, but I never knew that Frank Rizzo was the real guy. I always thought it was just some Jerky Boys thing because, boy, when that album came out, my buddies and I, we got shit-faced and listened to it over and over.
This is people listening to Frank calls.
Well, you always wondered, do you think any of the presidents have ever listened to the Jerky Boys? This one has. I've got all five of their albums and their bootlegs. Stop Staring at Me. That's one of the best records ever made. The Frank Rizzo, look, I had no idea that he was really, that there was a guy named Frank Rizzo when he was the mayor of Philadelphia. And apparently nobody liked him because he was a racialist, bad guy, not a good guy. So rest in peace, Frank Rizzo statue. I hope to turn you into marbles.
You know, George, they were trying to take the Custer statue down in my mom's hometown. And my mom was like, "What does Custer do?" Oh, yeah, my mom said, "What does Custer do?"
I think the Indians already took care of him. I'm sorry. Native Americans.
Well, what did Custer do, though?
Well, Custer was a Civil War general, and he fought for the North. He was a cavalry officer, and he was he did stuff out west with the Union Army. I don't see any reason why they would need to take it down. He was an Indian fighter. I'm sorry. First Peoples. What are you supposed to say? Custer was, he was a bad guy. He went nuts. He tried to go into Little Bighorn and wipe out all the Sioux. Well, guess what? They're behind him. And they wiped him out.
Yeah.
If you'd like to see a good movie about that, watch Little Big Man with Dustin Hoffman and Chief Dan George and Faye Dunaway and Martin Balsam. A lot of good people in that movie. Now, check it out. It's pretty cool.
I wish we could do a segment every week with you where you gave us a little history lesson.
I'll give you a history lesson. I'm big in history. I love history.
I would love to hear George W.'s take on history every week. I think that would be great.
You surprise me with a question, and I'll answer it for you. I don't want to know
ahead of
time because I'm a genius when it comes to history. All right?
Perfect. Okay.
All right.
The Germans attacked Pearl Harbor.
Hey, that's from Animal House. That's another good movie. I like the boobs in it. All right. Thank you, President George W. Bush. Hey,
thank you so much.
We have been doing playlists and people are really digging them. We originally did the COVID locked in playlist and a couple of weeks ago we started doing our on the road playlist, which I think is a lot of fun. We don't have any contributions from listeners this week, so it's just the three of us and I'll get started.
Well, listen, I put it together on a little thing here. So after you say your song, give me 1 second. I'm going to play it.
Okay.
Just real quick. Cause I've got it all set up.
All right.
You just say your song and I'm going to play it.
My first song is Waiting for Somebody by Paul Westerberg.
Oh God, that's so loud. All right, there we go. It's from Singles, right?
Yes, it's from the movie Singles. He put out two or three singles, but they were released on radio. And I think Waiting for Somebody actually made it in the top 30. And it's probably the farthest any Paul Westerberg song's ever made it. My next one is a song by a band called Old 97s, and it's Murder or Heart Attack. You guys know this song? You know this band?
I hadn't heard it. This was new for me.
All right, you can stop it. And then
the
last one is Renegade by Styx.
This is your radio road trip and music.
Cool. You can stop that.
It's called Scream. You gotta wait for the scream.
You gotta wait for it.
Well, the reason I like I've been listening to a lot of Styx lately because a couple of weeks ago, Dennis DeYoung was on Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast, and he's a real cool dude, a raconteur.
Yeah, I liked all your songs, Tim.
You did?
I did. I enjoyed them all, actually.
I like
songs, Tim.
Jeff, why don't you?
My first one is Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
What are you thinking about when you're riding around listening to Fast Car, Jeff?
Little bitty.
Get out.
Jack and Diane. It's the same guitar riff.
I did. And then my second one was...
You didn't answer the question.
So what do you think about?
I'm thinking about me and my old man getting out of the city.
Old man has a drinking problem.
Yeah.
He lives with the bottle. That's the way it is.
Says body's too old for working. Body too young.
My second one was Graceland by Paul Simon.
That's a great song.
That is a good song.
The son of my first marriage.
You can't get mad when you listen to Graceland.
Mm-mm.
And my third one was Love Shack by the B-52s.
That's a great song to listen to when you're on the road.
This is a song, when it comes on at work, I want to put a shotgun in my mouth.
Why?
I don't know, but it makes work so much worse.
What radio station plays Love Shack, or do you guys listen to Spotify?
Oh, no, we don't listen to Spotify. We have we've got a Sirius for Business account.
And they play Love Shack, okay.
They'll throw Love Shack in there, depending on the station. And it's just one of those songs where if you thought that there was any other place darker than hell, it's work with Love Shack playing in the background.
You should find the Slayer mashup with Rock Lobster and just start playing that at the office.
I'll do that. I'll definitely do that.
What are your songs, Steph?
My songs are, and can I give you, I have a little snippet for each little song, just real quick.
Okay.
So my first song is Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush. And the reason why is because when I was in my early 20s, I didn't know I was going to get to go drop acid with my friends. And then just all of a sudden, surprise came, and I was able to go out to this camping site and drive out there at like the last minute. And I was so excited. And on my way out there, the sun was going down and had the windows cracked on my 83 Cougar, and the wind was blowing in, and Running Up That Hill came on. And I thought, this is the greatest night of my life, or it's going to be. And it was one of the greatest nights of my life.
Did you make a deal with God that night?
I did. And it was to have the hardest, coolest acid trip that I'd ever had. And I did do that. And we danced like fools around a bonfire till 5 in the morning. So it was great. Now, this is my second one. This one also has a lot of meaning to me, because it was when I turned 21, and me and my friend Eric, we drove to Columbus, Ohio. I was turning 21 at midnight. So we were on the way there. And then, of course, this number came on, and I think we all remember this one. The height of the Interstate Love Song with the Stone Temple Pilots. You gotta wait for it to kick in.
'97.7 The Edge, York, September. Hester, York, Gettysburg.
Yeah, those were good times. I couldn't drink until midnight, but then when I did, I drank as much as I could till 2 a.m. and ended up throwing up on the side of the freeway on I-75 at 3:30 in the morning. It was great.
All right, before you finish, from now on, we all have to have a reason why we picked the song.
Thanks, guys. Did that add to it? Right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, and then my third song is, this is a song, if I'm sad, if I'm leaving work and I'm depressed or whatever, I try to listen to this song. This is one of my songs that gets me back up again, because you just can't be mad when you listen to it. And it just makes the drive much more fun. It's Stomp by the Brothers Johnson, produced by the great Quincy Jones. It's impossible to be upset when you're listening to a freaking Stomp. It's a jam. So just drive around and listen to Stomp.
Okay.
Those are my three songs.
Well, thank you very much. And I do like that you whip that out with the, you know, saying what the songs remind you of. So we're going to do that from now on. And then when we post it on Patreon, we're going to ask people to going to ask people to post why they like their songs or why they're choosing them. Yeah. Hey, we got to wrap up here relatively quickly. So we're going to do our what we watched and staff picks. But before we get to that, congratulations to Mike TV for reaching their 50th episode, guys.
Good for them.
They're ready to talk all things TV. Lisa and Dean are discussing the latest TV news, reviewing shows that have been renewed and delayed, giving feedback on what they've been watching, and giving each other homework assignments, and discussing Lisa's latest obsession, which is in a new segment called Parks and Recommended. They cram a 1 hour show into 1 hour and 40 minutes, so you don't have to... What? Oh. They cram 1 hour and 40 minutes into 1 hour. They're very thorough. Just know this.
Keep it thorough.
Another thing, Jeff mentioned him earlier, Brian Silverback's Loggerhead comic was supposed to come out a little earlier.
Got delayed by everything.
Yeah, but it is coming out, so we might be talking to him in the near future, but we'll be certainly happy to promote it for him when it comes out. To me, it looks like this comic book store that in Tucker never bothered closing.
Don't sing if you want to live long. They have no use for your song.
All right. Hey, everybody. Please say hello to Joe Galois. I say it right. Yeah. But I was wrong. We are going to talk about What We Do in the Shadows Season 2, all the episodes leading up to the season finale, which will be this week. And here's something funny. We recorded this yesterday. Well, we tried to record it. We did this really great half-hour tight segment. Steph was a part of it. Jeff was here. Joe was here. I was here. And I got booted out by Zoom, so it didn't record. So this is, you know, that's why I'm wearing a different hat.
Nandor dropped by for 5 minutes.
Nandor did drop by for 5 minutes.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about season 2 of What We Do in the Shadows, and kind of mention what our favorite episodes were, and just kind of go through. Why don't we go through the episodes first, recap them a little bit, and then we can say at the end what shows we liked, what episodes we liked the best.
Yeah, okay. I shortened up the recaps a little bit from yesterday, so to make it a little
easier. That's good.
Thank you. They're a little verbose, right?
Well, I mean, you had the entire Wikipedia.
No, I just cut out that page. There you go. So, yeah, and don't let me forget, by the end of the show, we did have a listener who submitted some songs via the new format, so we'll do that too. All right, so let's start. And, of course, you can watch the show What We Do in the Shadows each and every week or on demand on Hulu and, of course, on FX. And the show stars Kavan Novak as Nandor the Relentless, Matt Berry as Laszlo Cravensworth, which is a great last name, Natasha Dimitriou as Nadia, Harvey Guillen as Guillermo, and Mark Prosch. How do you say his name?
That's pretty much it. It's like German Prosch.
Not Mark Probst or Jeff Probst.
No, definitely not Jeff Probst. as my favorite character in the series, Colin Robinson, who is the energy vampire, who feeds himself by making other people very, what does he do to them? He annoys them or makes them upset or mad or whatever.
He bores them to death.
Yeah, he drains their energy by boring them and making them have bad emotions and stuff.
Man, I think I would be good at that.
You are.
I know. I think I'd be a good energy vampire or emotional vampire. I'm pretty good at leeching emotions off of people, but yeah. Enough about my weirdness. And Joe, what have you been up to lately?
Quarantining and then reading a lot of news and watching a lot of TV, and that's about it.
Yeah.
A lot of listening to people that need to be heard.
Listening to people that need to be heard. But you know who's not being heard? Comedians, unless they're on Twitter with their funny hot takes.
Yeah.
Have you done any of those virtual comedy things where you
I did a few and I wanted to quit comedy immediately after those. I did not enjoy 1 second of performing for virtually nobody and virtually everybody at the same time.
What was the reaction like from the audience? Do you don't hear their laughter at all?
No. No, you don't hear their laughter. And like usually from the shows I've had like been on and watched, they Twitch Zooms, I believe, or do just Instagram Live.
Mm-hmm.
You're under the gun because there's always like these time limits, and then they overbook the show and then they gotta jump into another Instagram Live or another Zoom meeting to do it right, and then half the audience leaves and never comes back. So it's pretty similar to a real comedy show when you're on the end of one, but there's no feedback at all as you're just talking to yourself in a room.
When do you think you'll be able to get back on stage in front of an audience?
When I honestly have no idea. Like I could say the end of the summer, but I honestly don't know what the country will be at in terms of like the pandemic. If we get another spike, I'm not going to bother going out there. And then you have all these showrunners saying like, well, we're going to take extra precautions and have several mics for the comics. And I'm like, that's going to last about two comics when you have to keep switching out microphones after every single one. And then you're going to give up about the third comic into the first show. And then it doesn't matter. We're all spitting on the same microphone.
They're pretty gross, aren't they? Because I imagine they're worse before when you could smoke. You know, it's bad enough.
Yeah.
Particles and booze breath or just, you know, germs, yeah. And everything, but no tobacco finally, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've never purposely smelled a mic, but there was, I think, one time where I put one up to my chin and like I could smell it from there. I'm like, it was on the show before, but good Christ. I just put it back in the stand and just sort of performed like Norm MacDonald that night.
What does that mean? Just back?
Well, he has the microphone always in the stand. He just sort of, he's not holding it up to his face or anything.
Yeah. Not like Dave Attell, who makes, you know, that's just like another person on the stage with him. You know, he moves around, he takes the stand with him.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it won't be too long you'll be able to do that. I mean, what do you do when you're a stand-up comedian and you can't do stand-up comedy? Do you do writing? Do you do...
There's no eagerness to do so. So I've been falling in, like, I would like all of a sudden, like think to myself, like, I haven't really written much lately because there's no open mic to go to. And if you do an online show, you don't really want to try out new material when you don't have feedback.
Right.
That's the thing about the online show. It's like, you don't want to do new material because you don't know how it's actually going and you'll just throw it away and it might've been good. And you don't want to, and then you're playing, but when you do like your hits or what, like you're like, you know, work or not working. So then you feel those two. It's like there's no benefit to it at all except for saying like someone saying like, oh thanks, I'm glad I got to watch that show for an hour and take my mind off things, which is nice, but I don't get a benefit from doing new stuff or old stuff into a computer.
Well, let us, when you're back and when they open up the places and you're able to go do something, let us know, come out and support you and tell our audience.
Absolutely.
Have you been staying down there in the Queer Eye basement?
Yeah, the Netflix cellar down here, watching Netflix and stuff, and all the other streaming apps that have debuted in the past year.
Right.
I wish I had a Queer Eye basement. That would be pretty cool. Because I look it right now. I need a haircut, and thankfully I get to have one this week. But man, getting ridiculous.
I got a haircut a couple weeks ago. I just made sure it wasn't anything too hard. I just shaved it till it was. Anything that didn't look like I was going into the military, get as low, as short as possible to where I'm not.
You did it yourself?
I had my mom do it. Cool. She used to groom dogs, so I trusted her.
Just busting out the Flobee and
yeah, the old Flobee.
They don't laugh. The place I used to work, the barbershop, they had a Flobee up in the attic. They never used it, but I thought it would be.
Oh, they should put that on like the mantle and put it up.
Oh, doubt. I don't know anybody who ever owned one though. Back when they were being sold on television.
Neither do I.
Or if they even worked. All right, let's move on to our favorite vampire comedy show that's sort of like The Office, but not. What We Do in the Shadows season 2, 9 episodes, starting with episode 1 from this season, which was called Resurrection, featuring Haley Joel Osment as Topher, who was Laszlo and Nadia's new familiar. After he was accidentally killed, they take him to a necromancer to be resurrected, and he ends up becoming a flesh-eating zombie who wants to snack on Guillermo, who we found out is more than capable of taking care of himself. Jump in, anybody.
Yeah. Haley Joel Osment was hilarious as the familiar. But he didn't give a shit about becoming a vampire or doing any of the familiar stuff. So Guillermo was like pissed at him.
Yeah,
he had all these side businesses, didn't he? Like And I liked in that episode because I think the first thing to do was show Guillermo protecting the vampires from other outside people trying to attack him. So they showed that, yeah, he is capable. Then when Topher goes after him, it was a nice little jump start to remind you that the last season you found out that Guillermo's a descendant of Van Helsing somehow.
Now, who were those?
They never explain how, but somehow Guillermo is a...
Yeah, they don't explain how, but yeah. But who were those vampires that kind of look like the Strain vampires or... I don't know, Nosferatu looking vampires. What? Why are they trying to come there and kill everybody in Staten Island? Or do they never say?
Well, the first season, then they kill the.
They killed the master.
They killed like the main vampire or one of the head, like one of the most important ones, at least.
He got drunk and was throwing up everywhere, walking with.
Yeah.
Because they let him eat a piece of pizza.
Yeah. that was a very, very funny episode. Nice return to the series. And like you said, picking up where they left off. And the funny thing at the end is when they're fed up with having Topher, who is a zombie, they take him back to the necromancer and it was all a scam so he can have all these returned zombies make license plates for him.
He's making license plate keychains. Like little
they just sat him down in the back room and he started working one, didn't it?
So if we move on to episode 2, which was called Ghosts, that's an episode where we see more of the Guillermo story starting to unfold, taking it out of the house and into another set. He joins a club. First of all, though, the main story is the vampires. go ahead, Jeff. You tell the story.
What, the Updog thing?
Yeah.
Colin Robinson's trying to tell the Updog joke the entire episode. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you got some Updog on your shirt, or oh, this tastes like Updog. And just trying to get somebody to say what's Updog to him, but nobody will.
So, why are they? I forgot why they wanted all the ghosts in the house.
They decided that if they're vampires and they're dead, that their ghosts must be out there somewhere.
Oh, that's right.
So they had a seance to call their own ghosts back, and Nadia ended up having her ghost stay and be possessed inside that doll.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But then her old lover came back too.
Gregor. Yeah. What's his modern name? Dave or Jim?
Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. And he's Gregor, her lover throughout the ages. He shows up. And then there's the side story, like I mentioned earlier, of Guillermo going to the Mosquito Club. And now, did he know that they were vampire hunters, or I forgot how he got to that club?
Yeah, I forget if he thought Mosquito was a code for vampires when he went to the club originally. But he found out that they were amateur vampire hunters.
Yeah, and they're all kind of nerdy, except for Craig Robinson, who is playing a nerdy character, but he's still Craig Robinson, who's good in anything.
I think he went there to make to keep an eye on them, and then he realized like, oh, they're seriously doing missions, because like the next couple episodes they deal with it. He didn't realize how serious they were about vampire hunting.
Yeah, so
he just went there like as like a reconnaissance mission, and realized they got really caught up into it, like in the next two or three episodes.
And that's also Abigail Savage as Tanya. There was a couple other people in there that I recognized, but I didn't write their names down. So we'll move on to episode 3, which is called Brain Scramblies, which is one of the everyone's favorite episodes from the season. Again, the Mosquito Club returns. So like Joe said, we have Craig Robinson and Abigail Savage. And in this one, have they gone out? Is this the one where they go out to the house full of vampires yet? Or is this,
I believe that's the curse episode.
Okay. So this one is really the vampires get invited to a Super Bowl party, which they think is a superb owl party.
Right.
And, it's funny they go and now the premise of the show is their neighbors invited them over, or how did they know these people?
They walk next door.
Yeah. Okay. They walk next door and the people next door don't know they're vampires, but they think that they were figured out. So they try to mess up the one guy's brain, and which is why it's called Brain Scramblies.
Yeah.
Yeah. They both do it to him though, instead of just one person doing it to him.
Yeah.
So really, it really warps his brain bad.
They really messed them up there.
Yeah.
Anytime they have where they have to act like normal human beings cracks me up because they're so bad at it. They've been vampires and undead for centuries. They don't know how to be humans anymore.
Right. Well, yeah. Isn't there an old lady in the house that's somebody's grandma, and she thinks she knows Nadia, and she does, but they all think she has dementia, right?
Right. Yeah, they don't believe her.
Right. And so Nadia plays along with it, but she remembers when she was around when that girl was little.
Right.
Yeah.
When she was a little kid, she used to mess with that girl. And like, there was something about a necklace being stolen, but I didn't follow that part of it.
Yeah. Well, then finally the next episode, episode 4, is The Curse. And this is a hilarious, hilarious episode. Again, Craig Robinson is back, and the Mosquito Club, they go out. And this is the one where they go out to the house to try to kill the vampires, right?
Yes.
And Guillermo thinks that they're going to his house.
Right.
He's relieved that they aren't. He thinks, oh, there's no more vampires here in Staten Island. Yet they go in, and then the house is filled with vampires.
Those two twins were creepy as shit.
Yeah, scary vampires in that other house.
Yeah, the show does a good job of, like, making it scary when they have to be. Like, there's no real comical-looking vampires when like they do play it serious.
Right. Yeah, and in the house, Guillermo proves his worth by what, saving people. And any of them die? One of them died, right?
He saved all but the guy whose van they used.
That's right.
The joke at the end of like that storyline was that they still had to return the van to that guy's mom. He used it in the morning, but he was eaten by vampires.
And then the main story is they get
Nandor gets an email from like on AOL.com.
Yeah. And it's chain emails that tell them that they have to forward it to 10 people or they're going to be cursed or whatever. Yeah. And they send it to old email addresses. So they get the mailer daemon thing. And they think it's
Daemon.
That's the thing that's so good about the show. Like Joe said, is they don't remember humanity, and now we're in the modern era, and they don't know how to handle all that shit.
Yeah, in this episode, they're even out of touch with old technology. Like, it's not even up to date. That's AOL or Hotmail, or whatever it was.
Right.
They can't figure out that. Like, that's not even current day. That was like, what, 20 years ago technology? 20 years technology.
I remember I had AOL. My first AOL account was in 1996. And that is a long time ago.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to episode 5, which is Colin's promotion. Colin Robinson is promoted at his office. He thinks he's going to get fired, but he gets promoted, and it just gives him this sense of strength and ability that he never had before, and he really runs with it, and he starts getting more powerful, and he's able to fly. He's able to split himself into 3 different Colins.
And his head grows.
Yeah, his head grows. Becomes
comically huge.
Looks like the leader from the Incredible Hulk comic books back in the
day. He looks like a Mars Attacks character.
Yeah, absolutely. Meh. And since Colin is is my favorite character on the show, this one really made me laugh quite a bit. And I forget the resolution of the episode. I'm going to have to go back and watch all of these again, But I love how he's in the house and he just bores the shit out of all of them. But he starts draining all of them when he's the three different vampires, right?
Yeah, and they start aging rapidly.
Yeah.
So he ends up having to quit that job and then start over at a new office.
That's right. That's right. So he just goes back to normal and everything's fine.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So episode 6 is called On the Run. And this episode features Mark Hamill as Jim the Vampire and Madeline Martin as Lucy. Now, Lucy works at a bar, and it kind of plays into the, well, it absolutely plays into the story. But basically, Mark Hamill shows up at the house in Staten Island, and he is demanding that Laszlo repay a debt to him. So Laszlo, fearing, well, not wanting to pay it, being obstinate, flies off and goes and starts a new life in a rural Pennsylvania town.
That's Jackie Daytona.
Jackie Daytona. Hello, human. Would you like a human beverage, a human beer?
Well, I love the opening of that episode because it's just them in their front yard looking for sinkholes that from all right. The buried bodies. And they all think it's a game and Guillermo's not keeping track. They're like, oh, this one's 3 points. They're all just spray painting like the spots for the yard sinks.
Yeah, that's the beginning. And then Mark Hamill shows up all scary, but he's really just Jim the Vampire. How can you be scary if you're Jim the Vampire?
Where is Laszlo?
I did it better yesterday when we recorded it. But the funny thing about
Laszlo doesn't even owe him that much money. He was staying with him for a while in like a hotel or something, and he jumped out. He skipped out on his bill.
Right.
So what does he owe him? A couple hundred bucks, maybe.
Well, whatever it was in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Like in the 1800s when he did that, because it was in, I think it was in California, and then you find out like as he moves to the bar and pays all this money to have this new life, he could have just paid the debt and not worried about it.
Yeah.
Like when he buys the truck with the lady, the women's volleyball bumper sticker on the back. Right.
And that's the cool part of that story is he goes to this bar, kills the owner of the bar, and then he takes over and becomes the bartender and the owner. No one knows he's a vampire. He's just Jackie Daytona. And for some reason, he gets involved in the volleyball team, which I love that. I just because it's like an 80s or 90s type-ish thing there, I think. I have a weird feeling from that.
It's the mysterious stranger comes into town and fixes the fixes the town and everyone loves them, which is funny to me because he's the worst person on the like on the show, on the show he's like the worst person of characters.
Yep,
it's like hedonistic asshole. Laszlo doesn't give a shit about anybody, but Jackie Daytona cares about everybody.
Right,
and the only difference is jeans and a toothpick.
Yeah, no one could tell that who he is. In fact, even Jim the Vampire can't tell who he is because Jim shows up. And Jackie has to pretend like, oh my God, is he going to find out who I am? So they're both trying to drink beers or tricking each other. When they turn their head, they throw it back. Mine, that was a fine human.
And then he sees that he can't see him in the mirror. That's how he figures it out, right?
Right.
And it's so great that Jim also falls in love with the like women's volleyball team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And comes back, and then they set the bar catches fire because they're fighting.
Yeah. Do that whole big thing where Laszlo says, I'm going to leave now. And he gets in the truck and like you said, he smashes and he goes, okay, I'm just going to walk her.
Yeah. He doesn't know how to drive. That thing cost a fortune.
So they resolve it that way. I hope we see more of Jim the Vampire in the future, certainly in the third season. Cause that was great.
I think we will. Cause there people from season one came into this season. So I assume that Jim's going to have to collect his debt.
Yes. Yes, and
because that still wasn't resolved.
Or Jim could stay with them long enough to work off the debt.
Yeah, you know what
I mean? Like he stays in their house the amount of time that Laszlo stayed in his house or whatever.
Right.
I kind of want just every season has a Jackie Daytona episode where just he goes off part of the country or world, and Jackie Daytona becomes something like he can go like live on the beach and become a bartender there or something like that or a profession.
Or like a cocktail where he goes down to Jamaica or wherever they were. I forget wherever they were. I don't remember because I'm old. But like you said, more people came back. So that moves on to episode 7, which is The Return with Nick Kroll as Simon the Devious and Sean Clush as Elvis. Now, who's Sean Clush, Jeff?
He's like the best Elvis impersonator in the world. He's always on the Impractical Jokers cruises that I went on.
Oh, okay.
He won when, like, a long time ago, maybe 20, 25 years ago or something, he won Best Elvis Impersonator reality show that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's literally like the best of the best of the Elvis impersonators.
I just like that he's a vampire and he's slumming in the sewers with Simon the Devious and his group.
Yep.
Including Count Rapula, which is the best name I've ever heard.
And Carol, who is one of the most haunting creatures in any sort of film or television.
That was very insectoid, vampire, scary, freaky. You wouldn't want to be around it. And all she want to do is kill Guillermo.
Yeah. And he killed her in self-defense, and then was Nandor found out and decided whether he should rat him out or protect him. He ended up choosing to protect him, which sort of sparked their relationship again in terms of like progressing their storyline of familiar and vampire.
She definitely wasn't killed by Guillermo. Why would you say that?
Yeah.
I think the Nick Kroll character is great on that show. And
well, it's the dumbest like running, like, and I mean that in a good way, the dumbest running storyline. He wants the hat that's clearly cursed and it keeps hurting her and threatening his life.
Yeah.
And he still wants the hat just so he has something over on Laszlo. And Laszlo should just let him have the hat.
No, the hat is terrible.
Right.
The hat's the worst.
And I do like the way Nandor handles Guillermo, figuring out that he's able to kill vampires. And like you said, finally having a little bit of respect for him and maybe even a little bit of fear.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to episode 8, which is a collaboration that stars Greta Lee as Celeste and Jack O'Donnell as Benji Everett. Now, Benji is Nandor's familiar from the 70s. So it kind of opens up that way. He's an old man now, but in the 70s, he would go out and party and they show you all those pictures, which is one good thing about the show. And I think Joe mentioned this yesterday when we recorded this originally, that because of how old they are, you can go to pretty much any place in time in the last 200-300 years and you can have a story.
Yeah. You can bring it to present day.
Right.
Like just like a vampire, like Jim the Vampire now, like he was in the 1800s, he came back to confront Laszlo 200 or 300 years later, however much it was. And then Nandor's old familiar from just the 70s, like only like what, 40 years ago or 50 years ago?
Right.
And it shows like Nandor's, he's always been like this in terms of like just promising the familiars all this stuff and then never giving it to them. So right. There might be even familiars, like I don't know if we'll see them obviously, but familiars before Guillermo and the one on this episode. There could be just a whole line of familiars that he just lied to for hundreds and hundreds of years.
And so Guillermo takes Benji up to his room, which I guess was Benji's room before it was Guillermo's. And he goes, I used to beat off into that pillow.
No, not this, that one specifically.
Yeah. No, it's everything is the same. That's what I think is cool. So Guillermo decides to leave because he feels disrespected by Nandor, and he's going to go stay with Celeste, who is a vampire, and he's going to be her familiar. It turns out she has a whole bunch of familiars, and she's making them in this really avant-garde artsy loft, making them move furniture around and kind of be her servant. She's really annoying, and she makes him have an orgy, and eventually it turns out that she's not a vampire. She's just fucking around because her.
Yeah, she was a familiar for another vampire and came to Guillermo and told Guillermo that I finally got turned and
yeah.
He got pissed that like it happened that quickly compared to like what Nandor's just been like lying and dragging him around for all these years about I'll turn you into a vampire at some point and just keeps leading him on. So he quickly just jumped over there.
Yeah. Well,
when we saw that old guy come back and say, Nandor promised to make me a vampire too, but here he is. He's like 90 years old and
yeah,
was never geriatric. Vampire. Yeah.
Well, he came back to become it's like, why do you want to be a 90-year-old? Like, there's no joy in that. Like,
no, you're just old forever.
Yeah, you're just old forever.
So toward the end of that episode, they get really tired of having him around, Benji. So he makes him a vampire. You think that he's just abandoning him at a rest stop But he turns him into a vampire and he flies away, right?
Right.
Yep.
So Nandor did that for him. And then, you know, Guillermo comes back. Nandor wants him back. And he's able to start getting a little respect. Like he gets a day off and some other concessions, which we'll find out later. And then the side story in that episode is at the beginning, you see Laszlo grab a jogger and kill him or try to kill him and eat him. And he hears Come On Eileen playing from a car radio. He goes, damn it, what is that song? Or whatever. I forget the line, but it turns out he had written it 100 years ago or 200 years ago.
Yeah.
It was about fish, right? Chum on Eileen.
Yeah. It was about some. And then you find out he wrote like all these other songs with Nausea. They're just like this like old folk duo.
Yeah. And a lot of those songs became hits. And so Colin tries to get them to, he starts egging them on to play like to play for people. And he takes to an open mic night at a club, and he keeps giving them bad advice. Like, you know, when people play a new song at a concert, that's a lot of excitement there. So make sure you tell everybody it's a new song.
Yeah. Cause Colin wanted the feast. He knew that would have, that would have drained the energy out of the room, and he could have.
And the very first thing that happens when they get into that club is a comic is wrapping up. And he's not getting any laughs. And they before they cut the commercial, they cut to Colin, and you see him turn his head and his eyes light up.
Yeah. Very realistic. Very realistic.
I know. I've been in open mic nights at comedy clubs sometimes, and when there's nobody there but just a couple other comics, and I feel so bad because I can laugh. I just feel bad. I feel uncomfortable. I feel like I'm up there because that's what would be happening no matter what if I were up.
Yeah, it's not fun for either side. No. If it's a small audience, you're both on this. Like, you and the audience, the comedian and the audience members are on the spot.
Right. And then Colin's plans are foiled because it turns out that Laszlo wrote Kokomo, and they start performing that, and the whole audience starts singing and enjoying it. So,
going back to the cocktail theme.
Yep.
Yeah.
If they do end up doing a cocktail episode, they have the rights to that song.
Yeah, they do. Laszlo's Law.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Cocktail, Joe?
I've seen a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen all of it. I don't know if I've seen all of it at once, but it's always been on TV in perpetuity since like 1980. Right,
yeah.
But like it's one of those movies like whenever you turn it on like on a channel, it's like, oh, I've seen this part already, but it's for every scene.
Yeah.
They didn't make you watch that before you started bartending at the Relapse?
No. No, I watched it before that. But yeah, there was no real training at Relapse.
It turned a lot of guys into douchebags. A lot of guys wanted to be that. And Jeff and I probably saw it together at the movie theater when it came out. But when I started going to bars, maybe it was toward the tail end of that, still having some influence. But they all looked like they had their hair cut that way, and they all wanted to do the flipperoo with the bottle and all that.
Want to see a really funny video on YouTube, look up Chris Fairbanks Cocktail. The stand-up comedian, very funny guy. He inserted himself into the movie.
Oh, that sounds hilarious.
It's about 10 or 12 minutes of the movie, like different scenes where he's in it. Like when they're all singing, like when him and his mentor are singing like on the sidewalk and he falls down the subway steps.
Uh-huh.
Fairbanks goes, oh, I can do that too, and like does it himself. Or when they're discussing like opening up Cocktail and Dreams, and it was like they're dealing with the percentages, like Cocktail and Dreams and like pink, bright neon letters. And you hear Chris Fairbanks goes, oh, that sounds awful. It's like, we'll do 70-30. And Chris Fairbanks, you hear him go, about 33-33-33. Like he's just and it's like seamless. Like it looks odd, but like the actual like him talking to them, like editing wise, like it's seamless that he's in the movie, and he somehow makes it turn into a really dark film. Like the actual storyline.
I'm gonna watch that. That sounds hilarious.
Yeah.
And the whole plot of that movie is ridiculous anyway. He knocks up the girl in wherever they are. I forget where they are. He knocks up the girl, and they come back, and her father tries to buy him off because he's a dirty Italian or something. I mean, that's some real old 80s stuff.
You're not fit for my daughter.
Yes. You're Italian. You're swarthy. They never did make a sequel to that, did they?
No. Well, if Top Gun 2 takes off, you can...
Can't wait for that. Yeah. I didn't really like Top Gun all that much. If you're if you want to know. All right. So the final episode that we're going to talk about real quickly here is episode 9. It's called Witches, featuring Lucy Punch as Lilith. She's the leader of a coven of witches who show up. They have a goat show up at the house in Staten Island. And the first vampire they grab is Laszlo, who is out pruning his apples. And because he can't eat them, he just prunes them and throws them on the floor. the goat shows up. The goat, what's the goat's name? I forgot. It had a funny name.
I don't remember what it was either.
God damn it. I have a very bad brain today. But they take both Laszlo and Nandor, and they have them strapped to these like gurney things that are raised, and they start dancing around them seductively to get them aroused. And they're like, oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. And they want to do a semen extraction, except they have these horrible brass devices with screws in them. So Guillermo and Nadia and Colin all go to try to find them, and they're driving in a car chasing. They're in a car following the witches, and they finally get there, and they get trapped in a room that's all doors. It's like bewitched with all these doors, so you can't get out. And they're trying all these different things, different ways to get out. And Colin is, of course, trying to be the one to save them. And his dry humor is like, no, that's not it. And then eventually there's a door that says exit in Spanish, right?
Yes.
And
Guillermo found it.
Yeah. And then Colin gets defensive. Well, I would have found it eventually. I'm the one who did it. I found it and saved the day. Yeah. One side thing, they end up saving them, of course. The witches reveal their true selves, and they're all hags, of course, because they're older, and they need the semen to stay young. So Guillermo comes up with a plan to extract it, or to get it from them and just sell it to the witches so no one gets killed or maimed, which is a pretty smart thing to do. But meanwhile, Guillermo is showing his independence by he can now take a 15-minute break every 4 hours, and that's pissing off Nadia.
The progression of Guillermo's storyline of like either moving on or becoming a bigger part of like the actual house and having more of a say in things.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens in this season finale, because that was the witches episode is the penultimate episode of this. So something's going to happen between Guillermo and Nandor in this next episode that I feel like we'll have to wait a whole year and probably to see what happens next,
or even longer.
Yeah,
when they can go back into production.
Hopefully only a year. Maybe they'll have it ready for us. And then this episode wraps up in a very funny way, because both Laszlo and Nandor are still tumescent. And so they just go, do you want to just finish each other off and go to bed? That sounds good.
And I liked that Guillermo was like, I'm already cleaning up to all this semen anyway, so I might as well just give it to these witches. That's not going to hurt anything.
Well, it's showing that he's like becoming more, not intuitive. What's the word? Like he's more, because he talked about his business that he wants to go on Shark Tank for with the roll on blood.
Yeah.
Like to get rid of the blood.
Right.
It's like he's becoming like this, like maybe that's what happens. He just becomes like this vampire mogul and like becomes this huge businessman, like within the underworld here and on Earth, with all these products that they can all use.
So episode 10, which is the season finale, airs on June 10th. And of course, if you have, like I said earlier, if you have Hulu and all that, you can watch it there. Joe, what are your three favorite episodes from this season?
All right, my number one was On the Run with Jackie Daytona. Just Matt Barrett, I don't think his character's ever really held an episode like with that much on his shoulders, like, because that was like a one-man show, even with Mark Hamill.
Right.
All of them are derived of Laszlo dealing with having a new life as not a vampire, even though he was a vampire.
Jackie Daytona.
This whole persona, he's from Tucson, Arizona. When they asked him, he's like, you have a weird accent for Tipper. Like, this is how we talk in Tucson, Arizona. But yeah, like, so I like that episode so much. I hope they revisit that alter ego again at some point, like some shows do, like with in Parks and Rec with Ron Swanson's jazz saxophone player. Yeah. You'll just every season or two, like Jackie Daytona pops up for for some reason. Like, he has to go somewhere as Jackie Daytona.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Number two was The Curse. Just them, like, them trying to, like I said earlier, dealing with old technology as if it's, like, brand new technology that they, no one was able to figure out, I thought was funny. And then also The Return, I thought was funny. Just them fighting over the damn hat for two seasons now, which is like, it's the prize no one want. Like, can you imagine, like, if an Indiana Jones film or like National Treasure's like, we got to save this thing no one wants. That's what they're both trying to, like, that's what they're fighting for.
They would be better off if he just gave the hat to Nick Kroll. He would be so much better off.
And he wouldn't have to deal with Nick Kroll's character. He wouldn't have to deal with Nick Kroll's character ever again.
Yeah.
And also, that's it. Is The Returns.
What?
Yeah, we lost
you. Uh-oh. Did we lose Joe?
He's dithering.
He'll come back.
See if he comes back. All three of Joe's were my favorites, too, but I liked Brain Scramblies also.
Yeah. Which is
the Super Bowl one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the whole, there he's back.
There he is.
Hey.
So what were you saying?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
The Return episode was the one with Colin dealing with the online troll, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's that side story of Colin dealing with an actual troll cracked me up too.
Yeah, with a giant troll penis that was blurred until the sun hit him. He turned into a statue.
Yeah.
And I liked about that because he was like engaging the online trolls to try and get some energy as an energy vampire. And then he started losing because he was going against a real troll.
Yeah.
At first he was like talking about you're winning if you're getting people to say, you're like, shut up, jackass, or something like that. And then he ends up saying it to the troll.
Yep. You know what I mean? Mine, did you finish, Jeff? I didn't want to step on you.
The Brain Scramblies was the one I wanted to mention.
That was one of Steph's. She also liked The Return and On the Run. Mine are all pretty much the same. And like Jeff, I love Colin's promotion. That's one of my favorites as well. Where because the whole episode was pretty much based on Colin, and I thought he held the show as well. So, episode 10 comes out this week, and we'll probably be talking about it, but I really appreciate you coming on, Joe, and talking to us. And
no problem.
I'm going to recommend that you steal Wellington Paranormal if you're missing the What We Do in the Shadows during the off season.
Oh, okay.
Nobody's streaming it here. It only shows in New Zealand and Australia, but you can you can find it out there. It's made by all the same people,
right?
And it's the cops from the movie What We Do in the Shadows, and they just go around and investigate different paranormal stuff that's going on in Wellington. There's two seasons and they're both top.
I don't need to steal. I'll just fly down there and watch it.
Yeah, do it.
I'll get a hotel room and just stream it from there.
From the movie, the original movie, the cops.
Yeah. In
the original movie.
Oh, okay.
Shit. They're the characters in this. And somebody, FX or somebody, needs to get this show over here. And they will probably eventually.
Mm-hmm. But
right now you got to find it.
Oh, okay.
But I recommend you do Wellington Paranormal, it's called.
All right. Well, guys, thank you very much for coming on. I have to record something else here real quick. So if you don't want to
put those songs in.
Yeah. Well, if you don't want to sit there while I read three songs and stories behind them.
Oh, okay.
I'm a listener. You don't have to.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
I appreciate it. Jeff, you should stick around.
All right.
So we talked about this in the other part that we were actually able to record, and Steph came up with a great idea, as she always does. We're doing these playlists, and right now we're doing a Spotify playlist for summer road songs. And we told you what they were, and Steph said, well, I want to tell you what these songs mean to me. So from now on, I don't know why we didn't think of it. It makes great sense. So one of our listeners, Brian Jackson, one of our Patreons, sent us this yesterday. And his, I'll do them really, really quick. You don't mind, do you, Jeff?
No, I don't mind. I'm not going to tell you what songs mean to me, though, in the future.
Why?
I'm not letting anybody in, man.
Keep it tight. Keep it tight, baby. So he kicks it off with the Black Crowes, Wiser Time. And Brian says the song reminds him of being in the backseat of a friend's car on a long road trip, all the fun of being in a car with your friends, the jokes, the great places, and the great times we all had in our youth. And I said this to Caitlin the other night, my wife. I said, you know, there's two things that can transport you back in time: smells and music, songs. You know, when you first heard a song, or if you're, you know, that anytime I hear a Def Leppard song off of Hysteria, I think of riding around our little town with our friend Denny and his Chevette. Yeah. Because that's all we listened to that summer, that album and Whitesnake. And, oh, no, there was one more, Girls, Girls, Girl. Another song that he picked was Fu Manchu Mongoose. And Brian says the song always made him roll down the windows. And when the guitars kicked in, he put the pedal to the floor and pretend like the piece of shit car he had could go 1,000 miles an hour. Too. Plus, it has a cowbell, he says. And who doesn't love cowbell? And lastly, Chuck Mangione. Is it Mangione or Mangione? Mangina.
Mangione?
Yeah, he did the Cannonball Run theme, which is one of the greatest and funniest car racing movies ever made. Plus, it's part of the Soft Rock Brigade. Hashtag Soft Rock is the answer. That is tied into the Von Hessler Doctrine where I work. So, Brian, thank you.
Don't mention the Von Hessler Doctrine, or you'll get in trouble.
Yeah, no more mentioning the Von Hessler Doctrine. Now you can mention it all you want. So, Brian, thank you. And next week when I post it, that's what we're going to be looking for. Couple of songs and what they mean to you. So the one show that I got obsessed with this week, and it was just last night, I said, you know, I'm going to try to watch this. You guys have both watched it, I think.
Is a couple episodes.
Steph's Hollywood on Netflix. I had no idea what to expect. Actually, I did have an idea what to expect because they read the book that it was based on. And, it's an interesting show, and I had no idea. I was following it thinking it was going to be biographical about the guy who wrote the book, but it's not. It's the lives of, it's fictional, but it's sort of the lives of other people who are trying to make it into Hollywood. And the cast is great. The writing is really, really up to snuff. And the scenery and the props and everything, they do a very good job, I think. Did you guys feel that same way, or you guys like, it's too much?
They really took advantage of that Netflix money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finished it. Yeah, I watched it pretty quickly. Now, the last episode, I will tell you, is very fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he Tarantinos it. Ryan Murphy does. He Tarantinos it in a way that this is how he wishes reality would have been in the 40s. You know, and obviously we did not get there. I mean, we're just now getting there now. So in his idea, this is how great things would have been had this started happening in the 40s.
Well, if you really are interested in watching Jim from The Big Bang Theory give Rock Hudson a blowjob, this is the show for you.
If he doesn't get nominated for an Emmy for his part in this series,
as the agent?
Oh my God, he's such a piece of shit, Tim. But
I just saw the second episode and it's really good. Bazinga. But yeah, I could tell right away. I mean, this doesn't remind me of Jim.
No. And not at all. I mean, he definitely, I didn't realize what a great actor he was truly until I saw him in this show.
Well, good. You guys validated me. And thank you. And my staff pick is this most recent episode of, again, Talking Sopranos. Sorry, guys. But they interview people who were connected with the show, not just actors. So you have casting agents Sheila Jaffe and Georgianne Walken, who is Christopher Walken's wife. They cast the show, and you'll find some surprises, a lot of people that you didn't expect that were going to do different roles here and there. And so it's an interesting thing.
I always like hearing about like actors that they looked at for parts.
Right. Yeah. They didn't get it. Or the people who tried out for one thing and ended up being another. Right.
Or somebody so good in the audition that they write a whole character for them.
Tony Sirico.
Yeah.
He's Paulie Walnuts for the uninitiated. Steph,
a layperson. So what I've been watching this week is also, I'm going to go ahead and blow Jeff's staff pick, because Jeff's staff picked this for me a week ago and I got into it and I love the show Dave on Hulu. And my nephew was a fan of Little Dicky. He introduced me to him a few years ago when he was here visiting, and he was like, oh, Little Dicky, he's a rapper. But he's like a funny rapper. And so we listened to him and I was like, oh, he's got some skills. You know, he's pretty good. I just did not know he had the show on. And it's very funny. I mean, like ridiculously funny. But also, I just watched episode 5 and he has a hype man named Gata, And in real life, Gata is his hype man. And in real life, Gata is bipolar. And in this episode, they tackle Gata's bipolarism.
Oh, wow.
Such a good episode. And I'm talking like I was crying at the end of it. So here's the silly, goofy show that you've watched for four episodes. Then they hit you with this episode, and it shows, it goes back into Gata's past and shows like different points in his life when he's had these bipolar episodes. And the guy, he said that he was very scared about doing this because especially mental illness is whatever, but especially in the Black community, it's very, it's just something that's very much looked down upon about talking about and all this other kind of stuff. But his family supported him and told him he should do it. It's just great. And it's such a wonderful, obviously you're going to get a real look at what it's like to be bipolar because, you know, it's from his perspective and his incidents that he's had. So anyway, it's great. And
I've heard so much good stuff about this show. I guess I'm going to try it.
Yeah. You're going to have to try it, Tim. You're going to love it. It's so fucking funny. I mean, it makes me cry. It's my favorite new show. So Dave is what I've been watching. And my staff pick is twofold. One is, and I know we're only supposed to have one staff pick, but if you haven't had the pineapple whip freeze at Taco Bell, isn't it good, Jeff?
That's delicious.
It's so good. Well worth rolling through the TV. Get that pineapple whip freeze. It's a summer delight.
Does it have any explosives in it? Because you read that story about the guy who put the pineapple in the fed the explosive pineapple to the elephant. All right, go ahead.
I've scrolled through it. I don't want to know. Anyway, and then my staff pick is we've got Shudder for the month. We're doing like a free trial. And there is the Tom Savini story, Smoke and Mirrors.
Oh, I want to see that. Now, it's an app, right? They don't have a channel on TV. Yeah,
how do you get this? Because I want to see that Nightmare on Elm Street documentary that's coming out.
Well, you got to subscribe through your Fire Stick or your Roku or whatever. You got to subscribe. Or on your phone, whatever. But you can do a free month subscription with Shudder. And cool. You can watch it on there. And I won't say that the production of the documentary is super high quality, but a lot of Tom Savini's movies weren't either. So it kind of goes along with the documentary.
They have a great Shudder online community on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. People just go apeshit when they show movies. Yeah,
like horror movie fans are all into the Shudder.
Yeah.
They have some killer ass horror movies on there. This movie Haunt that I watched on there a couple of weeks ago. That was crazy. It was very dark. And by the way, if you guys haven't seen The Platform on Netflix, oh my God, we watched that last night and it was Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, watch The Platform. It's a trip.
Cool. Jeff?
I finished Space Force and I really enjoyed it. I know you guys kind of poo-pooed it, but
I haven't watched it yet, so.
Go back and give it another chance. It's really funny. And it's not like funny like The Office. And that's, I think, why people are not liking it, because they say Steve Carell and they want it to be Michael Scott runs NASA or whatever, but yeah. It's not. He's playing a different character, and it's like,
is he the guy from Foxcatcher in this?
Yeah, no, he's not. He's not the wrestler guy. No, but the humor is like Dr. Strangelove kind of humor. Like, there's no fighting in the war room. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. And it's really, I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to more seasons.
Yes, mein Führer. I mean, Mr. President.
And I changed my staff pick to a documentary that's coming out on demand, which I'll probably pay for. It's coming out on the 9th. It's called You Don't Know Me. It's a documentary about showgirls.
Oh, good. I just was hoping I could watch that movie again recently for some reason. Good movie.
Spank Bank.
Terrible.
The documentary will probably be pretty good.
Yeah, I bet it will be.
There's a trailer for it online if you want to look for it. Don't know the trailer.
I'll check it out.
N-O-M-I, like the lead character's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can watch her in a pool why am I having a brain fart? Doesn't matter. I'm tired. I'm gonna let my brain fart itself to death.
That's good. That's nice.
Well, not really.
For sure. Is your butthole okay? Did you do your butthole test?
No, that's by the time this episode is out, that'll have happened.
Did you get your COVID results?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, because they were only going to call me if it was positive.
Oh, okay. I can
tell you that it sucks. Getting.
Will they stab your brain?
Yeah, and they put that shit all the way and they just keep going. It's just, hey, I didn't know there was so much room in my nose. And then they have to turn it four times. And at first I babied out. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm going to reschedule my appointment till this is over. And obviously that's stupid. So I just sat there and sucked it up. But it was so funny because another nurse came in and said, is he okay?
So you think about that, Tim. You had somebody administer this test to you, right?
Yeah.
And when you do those drive-through testing sites, they give you the shit and you got to do it yourself. You think anybody's really going back far enough to get all this?
No.
On their self?
No, there's no way. You can't do it. You have to have someone else do it.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
You couldn't cut your own toe off unless you knew you had to live, right?
I mean, so the test results, you know they're not all, there's just no way they're accurate.
Like, no. Uh-uh. All right. Well, enough negative shit. Hey, how about we talk some more history?
tell me the history of the 1918 pandemic.
It sucked. I'll tell you the history of this episode of Radio Labyrinth, though. We had some problems with Zoom, and it fucked up, and it didn't record the interview that we did with Joe Galois talking about the TV thing. I lied to you and said Steph wasn't going to be a part of it. She was, but she won't. And thank you for listening earlier when she wasn't a part of it, because we're going to have to – this is so meta. We're going to be talking to Joe Galois tomorrow and putting it in the show like we talked to him already. But anyway, I know everybody loves that show, so I got to go watch it.
You have to. You must.
I just want to be honest with everybody. Thank you both very much. We'll get this all straightened out, and because we're going to be doing it like this for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't bother us. And we'll talk to you next week. Until that time, please remember to
keep it.